to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. We're going to start the third of the messages that are in the Stewardship of Tithing series. Psalm 24. On Sunday morning, we looked at the dilemmas or difficulties to tithing, and then we saw the definition of tithing Sunday morning. Then Sunday night, we answered several questions in regards to tithing. In other words, should I tithe on or should I tithe if? And we answered many of those questions Sunday night. This morning, we're primarily going to concentrate on the defense of the tithe. The defense of the tithe. And I hope that that'll be an encouragement to you and a blessing to you as well. Everybody have Psalm 24. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And as I mentioned last week, it's a very odd scripture to speak about tithing on. But just to show that not just 10%, but 100% belongs to Almighty God. And so Psalm 24 and verse number 1, I want you to read that together with me. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. We see according to verse number 1, the earth belongs to the Lord, the fullness belongs to the Lord, the world belongs to the Lord, and then it says, they that dwell therein, the people belong to the Lord. And so with the people would mean their treasures that they possess belongs to the Lord as well. But we said we don't want to leave it just at that, because God also wants the trials that you go through as well. And he wants your trials to be his trials. He said, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. It's not just the treasures of man, but the trials of man and all the tribulation that man has all belong to God. And so when you think of tithing, don't just think, well, God just wants my 10%. No, God wants you, and God wants all of you, that which would be your cares, your worries, your trials, your sicknesses, anything that you have, God wants, and he wants to make it better. And in his hands, it can be better. And so as we look at this thing called the stewardship of the tithe, it's not just about finances, because God loves all of you, and he wants all of you. And when God has all of you, everything is just that much better. Amen. As the song says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Amen. So contemplate that as we look at the scriptures today. And Mrs. Dawson is going to come up and sing after prayer. And then we're going to show you another DVD, just like we did last week, on a couple called Gus and Gladys. Gus and Gladys has some difficulties with the tithe. And you're going to see that demonstrated in the DVD. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity to be here. Lord, thank you for the many that are tithing, have been tithing consistently and correctly. But then thank you for those that have attempted to tithe in the past and maybe are not doing it anymore. And we pray that you would work in their hearts. Lord, before we even look at tithing, Lord, help us to recognize that the earth is yours, the fullness is yours, the world is yours, and we are yours. Lord, we'll spend eternity in one place or another, either up in heaven with you or down below in separation from you in the place called hell. That is not the place that you designed for anyone, any man, but Lord, that place was reserved for the devil and his angels. So help us today not to just concentrate on the tithe, but Lord, you want all of us from the beginning. You created man to have fellowship with you. And so, Lord, move in our midst today that we might sense the need to be closer to Almighty God, and we might sense to have that relationship renewed with you. Lord, when a relationship is renewed, we know that what we have and what we own is yours anyway, and we'll freely give back to you what you've given to us. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Minister through the song that will be sang this morning, then through the DVD, instruct us a little bit more, and then, Lord, through the message, help us to recognize and realize the things that you have planned for us today and prepared for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson is going to sing for us.
the woman at the well. She came searching. She'd been struggling year after year. She didn't know. Soon she'd meet Jesus and her salvation. Told her of her sin. Then he offered her water and said, "You'll never thirst again." With joy in her heart and the new hope within, she ran to the town and she said, "Come see a man, come see a man, come see Messiah, the promised Lamb. Come be renewed, come and be changed, come and be free from all your sin and shame. Come see a man, come be redeemed, come meet the Savior, experience peace. Come see a man, come see a man."
But many folks do it in their hearts. They don't do it publicly. They just do it in their hearts, and they do it by their actions. And, you know, the tithe really should never need any defending amongst God's people. It really shouldn't. When you look at all that God has done for us, the tithe is the last thing that we should have to defend and talk about, you know, why we should give. Give you just a quick update as to where we came from. Last week, we talked about the difficulties or dilemmas as to why some people do not tithe. And we found that some people don't tithe because they have gotten themselves into financial famines. And oftentimes, those financial famines are because they have neglected to tithe. And so they find themselves in a financial famine. And if they don't have a financial famine, some have spiritual famines, and they're not as spiritual as they thought they were or should be or could be. And then we found out some other things as well. Some folks are actually in financial famines to increase their faith. God is testing you to see if you're going to keep the tithe back when you get into a financial famine. We also looked at this as well, that oftentimes if your outflow is more than your inflow, you're going to be in a financial famine. You won't be able to tithe because you're spending more than you're actually making. And those are all things that will pose a difficulty in tithing. Haggai 1:6 put it this way, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." We had a little G2 up here and demonstrated the bag with holes. We mentioned this, that God has a holy bag, but when you don't tithe, you have a bag with holes. Amen. There is a big difference in the two. We begin to mention this as well. Financial famines are prevalent in people that are not consistent tithers. People don't practice consistently tithing, find themselves unable to make ends meet. And if they do make ends meet, they're not as spiritual as they think they are. They're not spiritually happy in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's just a fact of the matter. So we did see that last week, the dilemmas or difficulties prior to tithing. And I gave you this quote from the Christian Law Association. "The average churchgoer is familiar with the tithe, yet the average churchgoer does not consistently tithe and find themselves in all sorts of financial famines they need not be in trying to make ends meet." And that's straight from the Christian Law Association. Then we looked at the actual definition of tithe, and it was 1 out of 10. G2 came up last week, and Jeremiah, let's get you up here this week. Where's Jeremiah at? Jeremiah is getting paid some candy, just like G2 did last week. We're going to illustrate to him. Now you get one. Hold out your hand. 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, if he is given 10, one tenth of that would be how much, Jeremiah? One of those. Amen. And so you're left with 90%, right? Amen. So that's not bad, is it? I've got to give one to God, or I should say, I get to give one to God and I get to keep 9. That's pretty good, isn't it? Now, can Jeremiah do whatever he wants with the 9 that he has left over? He can. Is he still a steward? Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. So he still has to be faithful with that, because God gave him how much of this? 100% of it. And so although God is asking him to give back 10%, he still has to be a wise manager of the 90%, or God could decrease that too. Amen. And so he still needs to be a wise steward. So you can pick one of those, Jeremiah, if you like. Amen. So the definition of the tithe is one-tenth or $1 out of 10. And we looked at this as well. Is it from the gross or the net? It's from the gross. Why? Because Uncle Sam takes it from you before you even get it anyway. And Uncle Sam is not as high as God. And so you are to tithe off of the gross and not the net. If you don't tithe off of the gross, and if you tithe off the net, then that is gross. Amen. So making sure that we're tithing off the gross. Say, "Preacher, I will starve to death." God will make sure that if you do it right, you'll never starve. Never seen his seed begging bread. Amen. So the definition is one-tenth. Amen. No matter how much I get. By the way, if I make $100,000 or $10,000 or if I just make $1,000, a tenth is still a tenth. The quantity may vary based upon how much money I make, but it's going to be that way. I remember Mark giving the illustration of the guy that continued to get promoted, and his tithe was an astronomical amount. And he said, God, I can't tithe like this. And God said, okay, I'll just take you back to where you started at. He said, oh, okay, that's okay. That's okay. It's not so bad. Amen. So the definition of the tithe, Leviticus 27:30 says this, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land, or the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And Proverbs 3:9 says this, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. And so we came up with this idea from Scripture that I tithe whenever I have an increase on my income. Amen. And so whenever I'm increased or whenever I get paid, whenever I get something that's profit in my paycheck or coming into myself financially, then it is my job to tithe. Amen. And I tithe off of the gross. And so we saw that last week. And I mentioned this, the tithe is often a good spiritual indicator of a Christian's consistent walk with God. When a Christian gets disgruntled, often the first thing they stop doing is attending church and tithing. Why? The two go hand in hand. My tithe is paid at church. So oftentimes you'll find a Christian that's going to stop tithing as they stop attending. So we looked at those things. And now we're going to talk about something else here. The Bible says in Malachi 3 and verse 9, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And when we don't tithe, God takes it personal. And God says, hey, look, you're robbing me. So we're going to look at the defense of the tithe now. We saw the definition of the tithe, it's one-tenth, the difficulties of the tithe. But now, the defense of the tithe. May I say this, that the tithe really should not need to be defended amongst God's people. Let me say that again. The tithe really should not need to be defended before God's people. Preacher, why would you say that? Of all the people in the world to need a defense of the tithe, the last one should be God's people. We who know the forgiveness of sin and salvation by grace through faith should be the last one that the tithe should be defended to. So, preacher, why? Well, let me just give you some reasons why. And then you'll see the 10% from God's people should be the very minimum that we should give. Number one. Jesus gave not 10% of his blood, but 100% of his blood. Jesus gave not 10% of his life, but 100% of his life. Jesus forgave not 10% of our sins, but 100% of our sins. Jesus saved not 10% of us, but 100% of us. We, God's people, should tithe. We who are saved, not 10% of the time, but 100% of the time. We who get not 10% of eternity, but 100% of eternity. We who are blessed, not 10% of the time, but 100% of the time. We who have God's Holy Spirit, not 10% of the time, but 100% of the time. We who have not 10% of God's word, but 100% of God's word. We whom Jesus became not 10% of sin for us, but 100% of sin for us. Need I go on? Those are just some things that God has given to us, not 10%, but 100%. So the very last people that the tithe needs to be defended to should be God's people. Yet some of God's people still have a problem with 10% in light of all the 100% of things I just mentioned, and it just doesn't even sound fair. Doesn't sound fair. For some, it's just plain old ignorance. Just don't know any better. For others, it's negligence. I just forgot. For some, it's actually stubbornness. I refuse to get off of 10%. I don't care if God did give me 100%. Wow. You got an attitude like that, you better watch out. You better watch out. For some, it's rebelliousness. For some, believe it or not, they're just living plain beyond their means. You look at the book of Malachi and you find that Jesus is calling into account the children of Israel for offering up things that were not right. But yet and still, he said, go to the governor and see if he'll receive it.
He said, but yet and still you'll bring it to me. Wow. He said, you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. Wow. That's Malachi. Read it sometime. Yet in spite of all that, God still allows you and I to retain 100% that he gave us in salvation and forgiveness and the Holy Spirit and the Bible and heaven and eternity. He never once takes it back when we don't give him 10%. Have you ever stopped to fathom that? That although we don't give God 10%, he hadn't taken back 100% of heaven. He hadn't taken back 100% forgiveness of sin. He hadn't taken back the Holy Spirit. He hadn't taken back eternity from you when he could. But then guess what? He'd be violating his word if he did. So God is a magnificent, promising God. And so talk about a loving God. When we don't do right, he still doesn't take back that which he gave to us. Think about how much more we could be blessed if we just gave that 10%. Pretty quiet. When you look at what Jesus has done for us and what God has given us, we should freely give him not just 10%, but more than that. When you look at it, say, preacher, I'm still not convinced. Well, let's talk about the defense of the tithe just the same. I know I shouldn't have to do this to God's people. I know y'all are tithers and y'all are going to do right. I understand that, amen, but we still got to talk about the tithing. The defense of the tithe, just the same, because you may have somebody ask you, why do you tithe? And you need to be able to answer them scripturally speaking. Some may be like Gus and Gladys. It's Old Testament preacher. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. When people speak of tithing being Old Testament, you know what they're saying, basically? It's the law. It's the law. But I want to take you before the law was even instituted. And we're going to take you all the way back to a place called Genesis. How many of y'all are familiar with Genesis? Do you know that the principle of tithing was listed in the book of Genesis? Go back to Genesis chapter number 3. As we talk about tithing, I was practiced before the law. Because the usual argument is that it's Old Testament. It's Old Testament law. We're under grace. So get out my face, as she said. In the New Testament, they actually gave more than 10% when you look at that. Go back to Genesis chapter number 2. And I want you to see, first of all, tithing was practiced before the law. Adam and Eve were taught the principle of tithing before the law. Genesis chapter 2. And notice verse number 16 as we're talking about this defense of the law. Verse 16 says this, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it." You know what God is saying? There's something that I won't kept back for myself. You know what God says when he says the tithe? There's something that I've kept back for myself. There's 10% that I want you to give back to me. I've kept it for me so that you can prove me with the 90%. He said, "Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." We see the command going out early in Genesis that Adam and Eve, they were taught the principle of tithing. There was one tree that was God's. Now notice chapter 3 and verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it." And that's verse number 3. Come down to verse number 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." You know what they did? They touched God's tithe, so to speak. The principle that God had something reserved for himself, they touched it, and then not only did they touch it, they ate it. And when they ate it, bad things happened. Notice verse number 11, "And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereby I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat?" Now, was God going to eat that fruit? I don't think so. But he had a purpose for it. Verse 12, "The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Verse 17, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. What is that next word? Cursed is the ground for thy sake. What do you say in Malachi? Ye are what? Ye are cursed with a curse. He said, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. He said, because you touched what belonged to me, because the principle of the tithe was instituted back then, and you touched it, the ground now is cursed for that. Now, I want you to see the correlation. Go back to Malachi chapter 3. Because we see the curse being laid early on. Go back to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. And I want you to see the correlation. Because I am showing you that the tithe was instituted way before the law, the principle of it. Malachi chapter 3, and what does God say here in verse number 9? Ye are what? Cursed with a curse. Why? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In what? Tithes and offerings. The principle of what belongs to me, you have touched it. And what's the result? He said, you're cursed with a curse. He said, if you do right, according to verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Now here would say the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And what will I do? I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your what? Ground. What did he say in Genesis? The ground is cursed for your sakes. What did he say? If you touch the tithe, I will curse the ground for your sakes. If you give me the tithe, I'll bless for your sake. Y'all see the correlation? The principle is taught way back in Genesis, and the curse is tied to the blessings of God. When I do right, I get blessed, and when I do wrong, he withholds. What am I saying? The principle is taught before the law was ever instituted. The principle is there. Clear as a bell. The curse is there. The principle is there. Touching what God's is there. The law hadn't even been thought about as far as man was concerned in that regard. The principle is there. So we look at the defense of the tithe. Tithing was practiced before the law. Adam and Eve were taught the principle of tithing before the law. Adam and Eve disobeyed, and eating led to cursing on the earth. Our keeping of the tithe here in the book of Malachi, or their keeping of the tithe, would constitute then a cursing. But if they gave the tithe, it would be a blessing. First defense. Defense number two. Go back to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14. Preacher, we normally don't turn on Sunday mornings. I want you to see it in your Bible that this is something not that the preachers institute, but something that God instituted way back when. The principle of tithing is there. Adam and Eve were taught the principle of tithing before the law. Abraham was taught the principle before the law. And he tithed by principle. Chapter 14, notice verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. By the way, that's a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he, speaking of Abraham, gave him tithes of all. Preacher, it doesn't really make sense. The context doesn't say that Abraham gave him tithes of all. Wow, I'm glad you feel that way. Go back to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, you see the New Testament correlation to this same verse. Hebrews chapter number 7. And in Hebrews chapter number 7, you're going to find this same guy and this same time period being talked about. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, being the priest. Notice what it says in verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also, what's that name? Abraham gave a what? Tenth or a tithe, part of all. First being by interpretation, king of righteousness. This is Melchizedek. And after that, also king of Salem. That's Melchizedek, which is king of peace, which is Melchizedek, which is who? God Almighty, which is who? Jesus Christ. So it said that Abraham paid tithes before there was a law. Y'all follow me? So tithing was instituted by principle way back in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were taught the principle of it. Abraham tithed before the law by principle. Jacob also tithed before the law. Defense number three. Go to Genesis chapter number 28. By the way, the law didn't come to the book of Exodus. Genesis 28. Preacher, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to give you the tools and the wherewithal to know that this is biblical way back when before the law. Gus and Gladys were ignorant to what the Bible taught, and so therefore they fought against it. I don't want us to be ignorant against it, and I don't want you to fight against it. Genesis 28, notice verse number 20. Jacob, by the way, tithed before the law by principle. Keep in mind that Jacob's name means supplanter or trickster or schemer. Many tithers are like Jacob, bargain tithers. What do they say? God, you bless me first, then I'll give it to you. God didn't work that way. God says, you give to me first, then I'll bless you. Notice what he says down here in verse number 20. Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me. By the way, the New Testament, he said, I will never leave thee nor what? Forsake thee. God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. How many of y'all got bread to eat and clothes? Amen. 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 I think that's all of us. So that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Jacob said, if you bless me and do right by me, I'll give you 10%. Guess what? God did do right by him, and God did bless him. And guess what? He gave him 10%. Notice what Jacob says towards the end of his life in Genesis 48. This is what Jacob's testimony is about his God. Genesis 48 and verse number 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk, the God which what? Fed me all my life long until this day. So he even gave the testimony. He said, you know what, God, if you bless me and feed me and give me this and bring me back home, I will give you a tenth. And guess what? God did it all. And guess what he did? He was obligated to give a tenth back to God. Hey, folks. These three people are before the law. Adam and Eve before the law. Abraham before the law. Jacob before the law. Law didn't come till Exodus. So we see the defense of the tithe that was practiced before the law by Adam and Eve, by Abraham, by Jacob, before there was the law. But then tithing was practiced during the law. Of course, Malachi 3:10. Let's look at that again. Practiced during the law. Malachi 3:10. You say, preacher, what was going on then? Well, the people were struggling. After the book of Malachi, God didn't speak to the people for a long, long time. You say, preacher, what were they doing? Notice some of the complaints that God has with them. Notice chapter number 1 of Malachi and verse 6. And notice what verse 6 says, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? Believe it or not, this is the same chapter that bring you all the tithe and storehouse comes from. If I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. So it was bad with the priest. And you say, when have we despised thee, thy name? God says in verse 7, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. What are we doing, God? Verse 8. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? They were supposed to have a blemish-free sacrifice. If you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord? He said, you know what? Bring that to the people that you work for and see if they'll accept that. I don't think so. But yet still, God says, you're going to try and give it to me. What we want to do is give God what he doesn't ask for. God, I'll give you my leftovers. God, I'll give you the change after everything is paid. God, I'll give you some money if I got something to spare. And God says, you wouldn't even give that to your boss. Notice verse number 12. But ye have profaned it in that you say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof is even his meat is contemptible. You said also, behold, what a weariness is it. We don't even want to serve you, God. It's a weariness. How many of God's people say that? Not only do we have a problem with the tithe, but God, we don't want to serve you at all. The same God that gave us 100% of salvation, the same God that gave us 100% of eternity, same God that gave us 100% of everything that we have. Wow. It's a weariness. He says, ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was torn and lame and the sick. Thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? God says, should I have to accept that? I shouldn't have to accept that. Come over to chapter number 2. He says in verse number 13, and this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. He said, you dealing wrong with your wife, your spouse. He said, that's not right. Then by the time you come over to chapter 3, he deals with the tithe. And he says, verse 7, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? What did I say starting off with? Well, some folks it's ignorance. Some folks it's negligence. Some folks it's stubbornness. Theirs happens to be stubbornness and rebelliousness. Then he says, will a man rob God? Yea, ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, you've done it in tithes and offerings, and as a result, you're cursed with a curse. So we see not only the tithing was practiced before the law, it was practiced during the law. Malachi brings up that they should have been doing it. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22 says, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. So tithing was not just practiced before the law, during the law, it was practiced after the law as well. In the New Testament, we find Jesus approving of the tithe in Luke's gospel. Turn to Luke chapter number 11. Say, preacher, why are we going so slow? Because I want you to see in your Bible that this is not a preacher made up thing, a man made up thing. This is Bible. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 42, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in the areas where they lack. And in verse number 42, he says, but woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and ruin all manner of herbs and pass over judgment. He says, you know what? You're tithing mints. You're tithing of your rules. He says, and all manner of herbs that you get, you're tithing. You're doing a good job there. He says, but you're passing over over judgment, and you're passing over love of God. He said, these ought ye have done, notice this, not to leave the other undone. He said, you should be tithing, but you should love God too. You should love judgment too. You should love these things as well. And so Jesus approved of the tithe. And as a result of Jesus approving of the tithe, we should, as a minimum guide or rule or principle, give at least the tithe of all of our increase and no less as a minimum. Go to Romans chapter 15 with me. Romans 15. The goal is to equip you as God's people so that you have the defense of the tithe. So if anybody asks you, why are you tithing when we're under grace and get out my face? You say, well, the Bible says. The Bible says, Romans chapter 15 and in verse number 4. And Paul put it this way. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. In other words, Paul said, you know what? It was written down so that you and I would know exactly what we're doing. Know exactly what we're doing. Whatsoever things are written aforetime, written for our learning. So the defense of the tithe is that Tithing was practiced before the law by principle by Adam and Eve, by principle by Abraham, by principle by Jacob before the law. But then it was practiced during the law by the children of Israel after the institution of the law. Then Jesus came along and approved of the tithe and said, just don't forget the heart issues. Now, need we go any further in the defense of the tithe? It's biblical. It's Bible. Now, if it was ignorance, you can't claim ignorance anymore. If it's stubbornness, you need to get right with God. If it's rebelliousness, you need to get right with God. If it's neglect, you just need to shore up the neglect. If you're living beyond your means, you need to just say, okay, God, help me to readjust my schedule, my budget. I mentioned last year, we lost about $8,000 that we had to go into our savings because people weren't tithing. And I read off a laundry list of things that need purchasing in the house of God. Let me read through that list again. The tithe keeps the mortgage paid. It keeps the electricity on. It keeps the gas on. It keeps the phones on. It keeps the building insurance paid. It keeps the vehicle insurance paid. It buys patch books. It buys patch hats, sashes, buttons, awards, snacks, vacation Bible school gifts, decorations, awards, props, costumes, Sunday school books. Amen. How many of y'all got a Sunday school book before at any time in this church? How many of y'all paid for it? Guess what? God's people through the tithes and offerings paid for that. The sound system is paid for. The CDs are paid for. The scissors are paid for. The source of light is paid for. Offering envelopes are paid for. Your hymn books are paid for. The Bibles are paid for. Discipleship books are paid for. Knives and spoons and forks. How many of y'all had a snack today? Napkins, spoons and forks. Knives is all paid for. Cups all paid for. Coffee? How many of y'all paid a nickel for your coffee today? I don't think so. Trash bags, gift pins, visitor tags, tracks, assortments, cleaning supplies, light bulbs, filters, toner, ink, copy paper, funeral supplies, wedding supplies, stamps, envelopes, paper, toiletries. How many of y'all like to go to the bathroom and find toilet paper there?
Oh, amen.
Hey, in Europe, you have to pay for that stuff. Am I right? You bring your own and you pay for it. And if you don't pay for it and you go to the bathroom and do your business, you don't have any toilet paper. There's a lady that stands outside, and you buy your toilet paper from her. Or you go in and do your business, you don't have none. Am I right? How many of y'all paid to use the toilet here? Amen. I'm just saying. The tithe goes for this and then some. Let me continue in the list. Building maintenance, vehicle maintenance, supplies, kitchen supplies, nursery supplies. How many of y'all like to get an extra diaper when you forget your diaper at home? Or an extra pull-up? Amen? You think it just popped up in the nursery? Somebody had to go and pay for that. Kids come in with diaper rags. Got to have some Desitin. Amen? I'm just saying. Gas, vehicle emissions, registration, copies, bulletins, repairs, grounds upkeep, air condition upkeep, trash collection, heat, sewer bill, on I could go. And that's just part of what the tithe pays for. None of which you come out of your pocket for. And what am I saying? And we have to defend that? Folks, we should be giving more than the tenth, knowing what God's given us. So when you look at what the Bible says in relation to the tenth, and when you look at how Jeremiah came up here and was given 10, only had to give back one, it's really not asking a whole lot. It really isn't. And don't get me wrong, I believe we've got a lot of good people here that are tithing consistently and correctly year after year, day after day, week after week. And don't get me wrong, I believe we've got some great people here that have tried to tithe and some unforeseen things came up and you stopped tithing, and praise God for you. And you've attempted to tithe and others that tried to tithe. But think about how much more blessed you could be if you did it all the time. Amen. And my hat's off to anybody that's even attempting to test God and prove God in his word. When he said, bring ye all the tithe in the storehouse and prove me now. Hear what said the Lord. Praise God, it's even stepped out. Let me say this. Step out a little further and prove him consistently, correctly, and see if he'll not bless. Now, is God after your tithe? No. God's after you. Is this church after your tithe? No. This church is after the same thing that God is after, you. Because if God has you, he's got your tithe. By the way, may I submit this to you? And I gave this briefly last Sunday night. The New Testament givers gave more than the tithe. The Old Testament had to give their tithes and their offerings. In the New Testament, you find them giving their tithes and their offerings, and they gave to missions. The Old Testament was never responsible for giving to missions. And we'll go through that a little bit more next week, and we talk about the offerings are designated for, and we look at the duty of the tithe. And so the New Testament Christians gave more because they had three opportunities to give, whereas the Old Testament, they only had two, tithes and offerings. The New Testament, they had tithes, offerings, and missions offering. And by the way, it was still willing. It was still not mandatory. It was grace. And so as a result of being grace, we should get all up in God's face with it. Instead of grace, get out my face. Be God, you're giving me grace. I'm all up in your face. I'm so thankful for what you did, God. I'm so thankful, God, what you did. Here, God, you can have it all. You blessed me. You gave it to me, God. I'm so thankful for your grace, so I'm going to be all in your face. Every time you turn around, I'm thanking God. I'm praising God. I'm worshiping God. I'm giving to God. I don't have to. I'm not forced to. I'm freely giving it. Why? Because God's been so good to me. And he has been. Every last one of us. Yeah, we've been sick. Yeah, we've had some trials. Yeah, we've had some difficulties. Yes, we have. But God's always been good. Even through the tough time, God's still been good. Tough times don't make God bad. Tough times just make you believe God and that much stronger. Amen. Why? Because he's still a good God. He's still a good God. You know, I do trust that you've looked at some of these verses of Scripture, and you'd see when people talk about the law, in the Old Testament, they're speaking about Moses and when that command was given. But that principle was established way back, before that even happened. These men gave before. These ladies gave before. They gave during. And the New Testament disciples gave after, even more. Why? Out of love. And because they were no longer forced to give, they freely gave. How'd they give over in Exodus 35? Hey, they freely gave. They said, look, the Egyptians gave to us. We're going to give to God's work. Amen. God has freely given to you. And guess what? You should freely give back to God at a minimum 10%. At a minimum. And we're going to look at some other things next week, the duty of the tithe. But the dilemma is oftentimes we're unaware of how we should give. The definition, it's 1 out of 10 from the gross. The defense, it was before the law. It was during the law. It's after the law. If anybody's not tithing, it's going to be because you really just don't want to. And guess what? God's not going to make you. I'm not going to make you. You're going to do it because you want to do it, but you're not going to do it. But guess what? God has a sheer good way of dealing, just like he dealt with Israel. What did he say? You're cursed with a curse. Now, I don't wish that on anyone. Now, if it's negligence, if it's stubbornness, if it's rebelliousness, if you're living beyond your means, that's on you. If it's ignorance, you're no longer ignorant anymore because we just looked at the scriptures. Everybody under the sound of my voice, including children, should be tithing. First fruits of the increase. Whenever you get an increase in your pay, you should be tithing. What is it for? It's for everything that you see. Everything that you see. If you have to take care of your home, guess what? God uses the tithe to take care of this home. This home. When you put it into the offering tray, guess what? God distributes it throughout this ministry to bless others. And so although you give, guess what? You're still utilizing that same gift. Praise God. God's good. But you know what? God still wants you to give it cheerfully. God still wants you to give it because you love him. God still wants you to give it because you know that he is never going to be your debtor, and he'll give you more than what you ever gave him. You can't outpay God. You can't outgive God. Think about what the 100% you got. Salvation, forgiveness of sin, Holy Spirit, Bible, eternity, on and on, a glorified body. What if God just gave you half a glorified body? Gave you 1 foot, gave you an arm, gave you 10%. Then how can we give God any less? When God gives 100%, and all he acts back a little bit. I do trust that this made you ponder a little bit. And at least you see in the scriptures that this is not my idea. This is not my doing. Now, I'll back it, and I'll support it, and I'll preach it. But you're going to give to God because you love him. Not me. I'm not the greatest of speakers. And that's why I wanted you to see it in the Bible for your own two eyes. That this is what God wants us to do. And if we do it, God will bless us. But you know what? If you're not saved here today, God wants you first of all. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be born again. He does want to save 100% of you. He does want to forgive 100% of your sins. He does want to give 100% of the Holy Spirit to you. He does want 100% of heaven to be yours. He does want you to have 100% of your mansion. He wants you to have that. But you've got to give him 100% of your sin. And you've got to nail it upon that cross that Jesus Christ died on, and he was buried for it, and he rose again for you. And so before you ever start tithing, he wants you. If you're saved here today, you should be praising God that he gave you not 10% of salvation, but 100% of it. And if you are saved, then you should say, God, at the very least, let me give you 10% of all my increase from my growth. And God will bless you. He'll pour out the windows of heaven, and you will receive a blessing. He said, you won't even have room to receive it all. Guess what? Simple blessing. You woke up this morning breathing. You woke up this morning seeing. You woke up this morning tasting. You woke up this morning hearing. You woke up this morning smelling. Some of you smelled bacon this morning. You woke up this morning walking. Those are blessings that God gave you just in the last 7 hours. And he wants to give you so much more. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. The defense of the tithe. You know, it shouldn't have to be defended, but oftentimes it has to be. But amongst God's people, it really should not need to be defended. I don't know where you're at or who you are, but I can tell you this. If you're not saved here today, if you're not born again, God loves you. And Jesus Christ gave 100% of his life that you can be saved. Because he gave 100% of his life, he wants to give you 100% of eternal life. Anybody in this room right now, you would say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I know God loves me, and I know Jesus died for my sins, and I'm curious about this thing called eternal life. Would you pray for me that I can get it settled? I've got some questions about heaven, but I know one thing for sure. I don't want to go to hell and pay for my sins. Maybe that's you today, and you have some questions on your heart or your mind. You say, preacher, would you pray for me? I won't come and pick you out, but I do want to pray for you. And you'd raise your hand saying, pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this auditorium. Raise your hand. I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I got some doubts or questions. I think I'm born again, but I'm not sure. It's not about how good you are, how bad you are. It's not about joining a church or being baptized. It's not about turning over a new leaf or keeping the Ten Commandments. It's about receiving Christ as Savior. It's about admitting you're a sinner. You cannot save yourself. It's about being born again, repenting of your sin, turning from sin to the Savior, and saying, God, save me because I can't save myself. Anyone like that at all? Amen. You may put those hands down. Anyone else? I can't save myself, but God, I want you to save me. Christian, how about you? Maybe the tithe didn't need to be defended to you. But are you tithing correctly and consistently? If you're not, why don't you do it? Maybe you started and you stopped. Praise God for you, but why don't you continue? Why don't you correctly and consistently give to God's program? And God said, I'll bless. I'll bless. Father, you see the hands that have been raised this morning, but more importantly, God, you see the hearts that are exposed before you. And God, I'm convinced that some do not tithe because of ignorance. They're unaware. And Lord, so we tried our hardest today to take away the ignorance and show them scripturally why the tithing is important, because it was before the law, during the law, and after the law. Lord, I pray that those that have been ignorant of the fact would now say, I see it and I'll do it. And I'll do it correctly and consistently. Those that have been negligent, Lord, I pray they would take you back up on your offer. Lord, those that have been stubborn or rebellious or living beyond their means, I pray they would reassess where they stand and recognize that you gave them 100% of the blessings that they own, and that they, at the very least, can give back 10% of their gross to you. And Lord, it's for the maintenance of the house of God. Thank you so much for loving us. Lord, speak to every heart during this invitation time and help us to do what you would have us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes closed, and we're looking around as the music plays and Mrs. Dawson sings. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you need to do some business with God today. Say, preacher, we talked about finances. Yes, stewardship of the tithe is very important to God. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Say, Lord, you know, it's been hard. It's been tough. The finances have not been rolling in the way they ought to. But God, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to give. And God, I'm going to do that which you have called me to do. Maybe you say, preacher, I'm going to pray that God will keep me consistent and keep me faithful. I've been faithful all this time. I've come too far to stop now. I'm going to be asking God to make me a continual vessel that will give, irregardless of the consequences, irregardless of what happens. I may lose my job, but I'm still going to give proportionately based upon my increase. However God leads. You know, you raise your hand saying you're not sure that heaven is your home. All it takes is one look at the Word of God and reassurance from the Word of God. Get that thing settled. Definition of the tithe, 1 out of 10, 10% of the gross. The defense of the tithe, it was practiced by principle before the law. Practice during the law. Jesus approved of its practice after the law. New Testament Christians gave more and beyond the Old Testament Christians. I surrender all. Preacher, we don't like these type of messages. Nonetheless, they must be preached. I rest in thee. Trust. Goodness, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the faithful that have tithed year in and year out, day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out. Thank you for those that have even attempted to tithe, Lord, and to be a blessing and an encouragement. Lord, some unforeseen circumstances maybe came along and swept them off. And God, I pray that you would replenish them and allow them to stand back and continue tithing consistently and correctly. Lord, some maybe they were ignorant to the tithe, and I pray they would join in with the tithe, recognizing that it is Bible, and it is something that they can do through the power of God. And Lord, as New Testament Christians, we're not under the law, but we are under grace. And Lord, as a result, we should be all up in your face with our tithes and our offerings, just showering you for our gratefulness and how you have blessed us with so many things 100% of the time. Lord, use this message and this time to get our hearts to where they need to be. And Lord, help us to do what, Lord, only you can do through us, through the tithe, and through meeting the needs in this local congregation. Dismiss us with your blessings in the next moment's activities. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.